Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. It's a film festival designed to celebrate Native storytelling and empower Native American filmmakers and audiences alike. Will White is director of festival and strategy for the Indigenous Film Festival. It's scheduled for August 2nd and 3rd in Pine Ridge, and it's held in conjunction with the Oglala Lakota Powwow Rodeo and Fair. Willie White joins us today from SDPB's Black Hills Studio. Welcome back to the program. Thanks for coming back.
Thanks for having me.
Give us a little history of the Indigenous Film Festival in Pine Ridge. Tell us, because it continues to evolve and grow.
Yeah. We started the festival about 4 years ago now in 2015. And it was really just an idea that we came up with because we saw a need in our community to share Indigenous stories and Indigenous films. And so we kind of just really threw it together and made it happen out of nothing. And it was really, really exciting to see the response and to hear the feedback. And this year would be our third year under the Indigenous Film Festival name. And it really is about celebrating Native-made films that are really, really unique and diverse in their storytelling. And part of our criteria that we've developed is that we want the films that are submitted to us to have above-the-line Native talent in roles as directors, writers, producers. And we really encourage those stories to be really a diverse, you know, storytelling that, you know, isn't really pigeonholed into any one thing, but to be able to share those stories and to have that representation and to bring that to our community directly is really, really exciting. So
it's about the story itself, but it's also about the storytellers. Mm-hmm. So again, you know, getting beyond what people's idea of, you know, what fits in a certain box might be.
Yeah.
And opening the door to all kinds of perspectives and stories. We had, and I've said this before on this program, but John Peaty, who's chair of the National Endowment for the Humanities, came through South Dakota, and we were talking books and literary heritage and tradition. And I said, what do we need to do in our region to sort of, you know, amp up our literary tradition? And he sort of, shattered that box too and said, well, it's the stories. Find the stories that that haven't been told, and that might not mm-hmm. be in a book. And so that speaks very much, I think, to what you're doing with film and, visual storytelling as well. It might not be something that someone has written down as a novel, but here it is for you to share in an entirely new way that, mm-hmm. that adds to our literary tradition as well. How do you go about finding what makes a great story that you want to share at the festival?
I think right now, you know, we're in our early stages of this event and still growing and learning and developing and what it will become and what it is. And I think we're really looking out to not only our community, but to, you know, internationally, because the word Indigenous is so universal and it's so complex. And so when we look at that, you know, we put an open call out and we get films from a spectrum of different countries. And you really start to understand that word and that, you know, what that represents is so diverse. And so we really look to stories that have that connection with cultural identity and that strength in that, because we feel it's really important for our community members to see Indigenous cultures on screen and in different type of storytelling mediums that really empower them. Because oftentimes when you hear about Pine Ridge, it's often through a deficit, through a lens that of hardship and difficulty. And when more than 50% of the population are young people, you know, it's really important to make sure that they feel empowered in their self-identity, in their cultural identity, in their heritage. And so we really look for stories that really are rooted in that. And and have those messages of empowerment to our young people.
Tell me about one of those moments, either, you know, yours personally or maybe one that, that you've heard of or witnessed, where a young person is sort of sitting and all of a sudden that light comes on as you recognize something on the screen as being relevant to your life or reflective of your own story. That's a heady feeling.
Mm-hmm. I think we're still, at least with the festival, we're still discovering those moments. But yeah. I think there's really that need there, because from my perspective as an Indigenous filmmaker, growing up as a young person, you know, you watch superheroes on TV and they often never look like you and never came from your background. And so it was always felt disconnected in a way. And then you look at films like Black Panther, where there's this sort of expansion of representation, and you see the strength and the empowerment that is in that, with even of, you know, people of color being able to connect with that story and that character. And it really creates this movement of pride and joy with who you are. And I think for our community, our young people really need that. They really need to be assured that, you know, their stories are important.
We used Black Panther as an example, and we talk about joy. Is there also a lesson from a film such as that, or some of the recent films we've seen with strong female narratives to them, for some of the films at the Indigenous Film Festival to also say there's an economic future for some of these films as audience goers, you know, open up an appetite that maybe, you know, traditional movie producers didn't fully understand how much that existed.
Yeah, absolutely. I think as a filmmaker myself, you often, as an Indigenous person, you feel like it's such a struggle to get your stories told on a mainstream platform, because you often, the narrative of Hollywood has been, it had to be blockbuster, action-packed, these huge stories. But you see films that are made by women. I recently worked on a film directed by Susanna White called Woman Walks Ahead, that followed the journey of a painter from Brooklyn who came to the Dakotas and met up with Sitting Bull. And, you know, that was a story about a woman's journey here. And it was directed by a very, very talented and powerful woman who I had the pleasure to assist. And to see those stories being told and those stories being taken seriously and those stories being what is part of our culture now, part of the conversation, I think is so empowering to, and, you know, other communities that may be underrepresented in media, you know, particularly like Indigenous stories.
Let's talk about the film festival itself in Pine Ridge and some of the events, panel discussions or workshops. What else ties into, describe the event a little bit, what people can expect?
Yeah. So our event is on August 2nd, actually. We decided to just do one day. Part of that is just part of the complex of fundraising and all of those logistics. But we will start at 9 a.m. and our first screening will be then. And we have about two short programs and about three feature films that we'll be showing throughout the day. And part of that, we'll have a discussion panel with some of our local filmmakers and an invited filmmaker that's coming from Michigan who's showing his short film there. And we'll have a discussion around filmmaking in our communities and what that means for our communities and how we get our communities involved through filmmaking. We'll also have a workshop as well, just going over filmmaking and getting the kids involved. It's really about involving our young people. The event is free. It's open to the public and we'll be there pretty much all day. It's at Billy Mills Hall in downtown Pine Ridge, South Dakota. And our last screening will be at 9 a.m. And we're really excited. And I think, you know, for us, it's always every year it's been a learning process of understanding kind of what do our community want and what is the need there. And so we've been partnering with, you know, reaching out to local film camps that have come and establishing these partnerships, you know, to even grow for next year. So it's really exciting.
first screening starts at 9 a.m.?
Yep.
Okay, and then how long throughout the day do you estimate that, or pretty much people can come and go at any yeah. time? I mean, you want to be there right away
to
take advantage of everything. Yeah. how did you get involved in film?
I got involved very young. I think I was about in seventh grade. And I remember that was at the time the first Lord of the Rings film had come out.
Yeah.
And I remember watching that, and I was just swept away and just captivated by what I was seeing. And it was almost this escapism, you know, into this world. And for me as, you know, a young kid, it just really... it was so exciting. And I remember walking out of the movie theaters telling myself, you know, I want to do that. I want to be a part of that. I want to make something like that. Mm. And ever since then, it's been a passion of mine. And I've been really fortunate to have really wonderful opportunities from working on various film projects, you know, big budget projects. I've been a fellow of the Sundance Institute, the Native and Indigenous program. So it's been a really exciting journey, and it continues to grow every day.
When people who are even younger than you are come up and ask you, you know, you probably can recognize that longing that they have, where they, you know, they've seen something or they've spoken to someone and they say, I want to do that. I want to be part of that. What do you tell them?
I would tell them to just go for it and do it and find those resources. I think when I discovered, you know, that I wanted to do filmmaking at such a young age, you know, I didn't know where to turn to because there was no resources. And so I just started asking, you know, my teachers and, you know, looking for literature about what I was interested in. And then, you know, I just grabbed a camera from my dad's closet that he used for hunting, and I never gave it back. And I just started making short films in middle school and high school. And I just did it and really, because it was such a huge passion of mine. And by just doing it and by taking those steps, you know, people came along and people started to help and guide me along the way. So that was that's what I would tell them.
So as part of any creative process, when you start doing that for the first time, you have to be, or maybe not, but are you, you can't quite do what you see in your head yet. There's a gap between I want it to look like this, and then you look at the screen and you're like, nah, I didn't get it. Was that frustrating for you, or were you just so excited to be, you know, on that path, that it was enthusiasm the whole way? Or have you had to overcome, you know, frustration and, you know, blocks to that creative process and to the progress that you've made as a filmmaker?
Absolutely. I think, now I'm a lot better at it as I'm getting older. But, you know, when I was younger, you did get frustrated because you're not getting the results that you see in your head or you see on TV. And as you grow and you learn and you open yourself up to learning and knowing that it is a learning process and it is a growing process, and every day that you will get better, it gets a lot easier and it gets more exciting, and you get to free yourself up from any boundaries that kind of restrict you when you kind of get into that headspace. And, you know, nowadays I'm really about learning and opening and just trying things, and if they don't work, learning from that and then continuing to move forward, and you eventually get to where you want to be, and you eventually get to see what you saw in your head on the screen, and that's such a rewarding feeling.
What's the film that you want to make that, you know, if you had an unlimited amount of you know, of production money and you know, all the doors open for you at just the right time, what's the film that you would want to make and share with the world?
Oh, that's such a big question.
I think,
yeah.
Because I want to see it.
Yeah.
Just give us a glimpse of what's living inside your head, really.
I think, I've always been inspired by fantasy and epic and grandeur. And of course, it stemmed from watching Lord of the Rings and being such a huge fan of that and being a fan of that genre. And I think being able to create a world like that, I think would be really, really exciting, and to have that creativity to build those characters and speak on topics that are relevant within our Indigenous communities and within our communities at large as a country, as a world, as a people, I think would be really, really exciting.
Can you imagine how mind expanding that would be? I'm waiting. So, and you're well on your way as well as a personal filmmaker. And yet you take, a good part of what you do to encourage and inspire other filmmakers and folks in the audience who might be future, actors, producers, directors, screenwriters as well. That's an integral part of what you're doing as an artist, right? Am I interpreting that correctly?
Absolutely. Yeah. I think that's a big part of why we're doing this festival, and it's not just me. It's a group of incredibly talented people that come together that, we want to give back to our community and we want to give these opportunities to our young people because we, grew up not having those and we know how that feels. And so being able to be in a place to do that is really rewarding.
Hmm. Willie White, we all think that you are remarkable. Thank you so much for stopping by today to join us on In the Moment. Once again, we hope you'll come back in the future.
Thank you for having me.